The burnout battle. Have you ever had burnout? I suspect you probably have. No matter where you are in life, at one time or another, you probably felt a little burnout. One pastor realized he was burnt out, and his phone kept going off. But it suddenly dawned on him he was burnt out, because when he answered the phone, he said, "Oh, hell." I mean, he put the O on the wrong side. He said, "Calm down." You understand? So I mean, hello. Well, you're listening now, aren't you? His wife said, "You're burnt out, honey. Don't answer the phone anymore." Okay, now that I've run the sermon, we'll continue. Those things can happen. It's just an accident, you understand. So much for the lighter side. Okay, Psalm 23. Let's get to it before we... Oh, I still have a church. "The Lord is my shepherd," David said, "I shall not want." I suppose many things have been said about that. You can't exhaust what that means, but basically David is saying this: because God is my shepherd, and he understood shepherding, he was a shepherd, because he's my shepherd, I could never want anything that God doesn't have, or I could never need anything that God will not supply. That is a profound statement if you think about it. Because the Lord's my shepherd, I, as his sheep, can never have a need that he can't supply. That's a powerful verse. The verse teaches, this passage really relates and shows us how we can live. David's living a stress-free life here. It's not that he doesn't have problems, but he's learned to trust. In verse number 2, he says, because of this, he said, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." It's a life of rest. He makes me lie down. That's a life of rest. Every once in a while, God wants us to lie down. God wants us to stop and spend some time looking at what God has for us. It's a life of trust. If you look, he says, "He leads me beside the still waters." You see, lying down or resting, because God has all your needs and he can supply every one of them to you, trust means you follow him. You see, you're resting knowing he has all your needs, so you follow him because you trust him. And then peace follows. He says, "Beside still waters." Now, sheep are very timid. They're easily frightened. But a skilled shepherd will take his sheep to pastures where the grass is green and it is a quiet place where the waters don't frighten the sheep. God allows, the shepherd does all those things for his sheep. David said, that's the way God treats me. He said, when I'm trusting him, I'm resting. When I'm following him, I'm resting. And everywhere he leads me, it's like being by still waters, because he's leading me there. He's very aware of the power of God's presence in this psalm. Rest and trust and peace are the things that make this special. That's the life we all crave. We want to live a life where we have rest in our souls, where we're trusting God that whatever comes our way, God's still in charge. And then that provides peace in the heart. So there's a life we all crave. Now, when we're burned out, we're not experiencing that. We're anxious and fearful of what may happen or what has happened. And life becomes a lot more difficult. And it puts a lot of our things we value in jeopardy. For example, worry can really weaken relationships. Because all the time we spend on worrying about whatever it is that's draining our joy, we don't really have the energy to invest in the relationships that have value in our lives, because we're fixated on that we're afraid of or we're concerned about or we're worried about. And so that's no way to live, and David said he's not going to live that way. So when you get to verse 4, David says this: it all happens because he restores my soul. He restores my soul. Now, that's the great thing, and we need to realize that all of us from time to time need our souls restored. That's our energy core. That's where you do life from your soul. That's where, that's the seat of all your affections and your passions, and as I said, your energy. It comes from your soul. And he says, God restores my soul, leading me in the paths of righteousness. Now, the word restore literally means brings me back. David is acknowledging by saying God restores his soul, he's acknowledging that there are times when his soul's not in a good place, when that energy core has been depleted and he's not where he should be. So when he says God restores his soul, he says God brings me back when that energy is depleted. He talked about this in Psalm 42. He asked this question, why are you cast down, O my soul? Again, that word cast is another word that describes the way a sheep would be, as I've told you before. When a sheep would become cast, they fall on their backs because their body is made up mostly of water and their legs are so short. When they fall on their back, they can't get themselves up. They're in a very difficult predicament. And so the shepherd would come along and he would take his rod and he would lift the sheep back up, set it on its feet, and get it back out there in the green grass and beside the still waters. Sometimes our soul gets knocked down. It gets depleted. It gets cast. And nothing but God can get it back up. And that's the thing we have to understand. Nothing but the divine shepherd intervening in our life can get us back on our feet, get us out of whatever it is, that place where we're in, where we're just completely exasperated with life. He mentioned this in other places, in Psalm 6, for example. He says, my soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. I am weary with groaning all the night. Make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. And so here's a man in one point in his life. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He has all that I need, he provides. Makes me lie down by green pastures, leads me beside still waters. It's a life of rest, it's a life of trust, and it's a life of peace. But something takes place in his life where his soul now is depleted, it's vexed. He finds himself in the bed, swimming in his own tears, absolutely, completely vexed. No wonder, he says, there are times when I get like this, God restores my soul. And it's not just the psalmist. Job said this about his life when he needed to be restored or renewed strength. Now, I'm going to read from one of the modern translations just because it reads a little more fluid and kind of makes the point before I get to my primary text. Job says this about his life. He says, and now my life drains out as suffering seizes and grips me hard. Night gnaws at my bones. The pain never lets up. I'm tied hand and foot, my neck in a noose. I twist and turn. Thrown face down in the muck, I am a muddy mess inside and out. I shout for help. And here's the sad thing about it. He doesn't feel like, not only does he feel like God's not listening, but he feels like God is actually responsible for where his soul is. I shout for help, God, and get nothing, no answer. I stand to face you in protest, and you give me a blank stare. You ever prayed, and it seemed like heaven was just shut up? It was even hard to pray, as if God was giving you a blank stare? You may have thought that God was punishing you in those moments. Job feels that way. You've turned into my tormentor. You slapped me around, knocked me about. You raised me up so I was riding high and then dropped me, and I crashed. I know you're determined to kill me, to put me 6 feet under. As I said, that's a paraphrase version, but it's not a bad one. But Job is basically saying life has knocked him on his back. He's cast down, and he doesn't understand why. And sometimes that is the most difficult time. A lot of times we know why we're not doing so well. But boy, when you get blindsided, with life or trials or difficulties and you can't explain it, you don't understand it, that's when it can be difficult. Why isn't God answering my prayers? You ever felt that way? Well, you might be what we call today burned out. You might need your soul to be renewed. You might be running on empty, just sucking the fumes, getting by in life. And people from all walks of life do that. You can be burned out on your job. You can be burned out at home. You can be burned out at church. I mean, you're just kind of existing, going through the motions. It's mechanical. Sucking the fumes, as I said, running on empty. We don't want to live that way. I want to be back there in Psalm 23. I want to be riding high where it says, "The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. I sense the power of his presence, and I know that he had everything he has, everything I need, he has." I want to feel like regardless of what's going on in the world, I'm enjoying green pastures and still waters because he's leading me. My faith is strong enough to know that he's leading me. You know, Lester Roloff used to come on the air singing that song, or they still play it. You know, in shady green pastures, so gentle and sweet, God leads his dear children along. I just love to hear him sing that. He said, some through the fire, some through the flood, some through the water, but all through the blood. God takes care of his own, and he leads us there, but sometimes we don't understand. So we want to get in Psalm 23. We don't want to feel like Job does in Psalm 30 or David does in Psalm 42 or Psalm verse 6. Psalm number 6. We want trust, we want peace, and we want the abundant life that God promised. Here's what happens if we go too long and let our souls run on empty. It's really dangerous. We miss a lot of the things that God wants us to have. Now, in the Old Testament, the word cast, as I said, is used to describe a person who's soul is in trouble. In the New Testament, the word faint is often used to describe a person that is fainting under the load of life's trials. For example, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, things burned out people miss. Galatians 6 and verse 9, Paul is encouraging believers along. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Keep on doing the right thing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. Now, that's an interesting word there, faint. What it actually means is to have one's strength relaxed, to be enfeebled through exhaustion, to grow weak, weary, or despondent, which basically means discouraged. It's a person at the point of giving up. He's about to not continue to do, or she's not going to continue to do what it is she's been doing, or he's been doing good, but because the soul is depleted, the danger is that we might faint during that time, or we might become so exhausted, become enfeebled with doing good, become despondent, discouraged. That's a bad spot for all of us because it makes us very vulnerable. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Here's a verse we all love. He said, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Sometimes your strength needs to be renewed. "They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." What do burned out people miss? People who don't recognize, or when we don't recognize, that our soul needs to be rejuvenated. That we need to find that place with God where God can restore the burned out soul. What do we miss? Well, first of all, according to this verse, we miss the new strength God wants to give us to face life trials. Notice he said, "He shall renew their strength." Don't you believe that too many of us sometimes live on past blessings? Don't you think we try to fight today's battles sometimes with yesterday's victories? We live a little bit too historical. That kind of makes you hysterical. Seriously, think about it. We need to walk in strength that God gives us today. Squire Parsons wrote that song years ago, "God gives new grace I haven't needed before." There's grace for everything. He says, but when life changes, or even when it's my time to die, I think the song says, God gives new grace, new strength. When we don't let God, or when we don't acknowledge that our soul is in trouble, and we don't seek God's help in those moments, we're going to miss the new strength we need to face life's trials. Because I can tell you something, those trials are going to keep coming. They're going to keep coming. Whether they're physical trials or relational trials or financial trials, Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world, but in this world you're going to have tribulations. We need new strength to face life's trials. If you're trying to handle life with yesterday's strength, you're exhausted. You need strength today. It's like the way they gathered manna in the Old Testament. God gave them a rule. He says, you get Monday's manna on Monday. You get Tuesday's manna on Tuesday. Wednesday's manna on Thursday. He said, whatever you do, don't you try to live on the leftovers. Don't you gather enough manna on Wednesday so you don't have to gather it again on Thursday. The only time they were allowed to do that was on the Sabbath day so they'd rest. But other than that, they were to have their daily provisions made. What does the Lord's Prayer tell us? Give us this day our daily bread. God wants us to walk with Him on a daily basis. God has a panoramic view of our life. We don't. And so He wants strength for, He gives strength for today, and He expects us to have new strength for each day. Well, that takes a consistent walk with God. Burned out people miss the new strength to face life's trials. You see, you may say, well, I've got a big trial I'm facing right now. Well, God's got a strong arm He can help you with. I mean that. You may say, well, I'm a long way away from God. Well, He's got a good ear to hear you with. The Bible said, the Lord's arm is not short that it can't save you. His ear is not heavy, it's not impaired that He can't hear you. It's your iniquities that separate you from you and your God. He's got new strength. Call upon Him. But don't try to face life's trials with all the things, all the blessings of yesterday. Nobody wants to hear you talk about what you used to do for God, or how you used to pray, or how you used to study, how you used to share Christ with others, used to win souls. You need new strength for every day to face life's trials. If not, the soul's going to get depleted. The second thing we're going to miss is the ability to soar above the difficulty. It's amazing when you may be going through something and you're where you're supposed to be with God, and God is infusing or sharing His strength with you. He can help you rise above whatever difficulty it is. Boy, when my soul's depleted, I can't hardly get over anything. I stumble over every little petty thing. Everything bothers me. Get easily irritated. Fumble a lot, you know, in terms of what I should or shouldn't do. But when I'm where I should be with God, I'm able to soar above those difficulties. He said when we wait upon the Lord, we mount up with wings as eagles. He couldn't have picked a better bird. You know, a bird can fly. The eagle can fly at an altitude of at least 10,000 feet. And the higher the eagle flies, the less energy it uses. It has an enormous wingspan. And the neat thing about an eagle, it is the bird that can fly directly toward the sun and never blink. It's flying at an altitude of 10,000, large wingspan, and it can go right toward the sun and never turn this way or never turn that way. That's the amazing thing. God said, I can lift you up and give you a wingspan like eagles. You can soar above the difficulty and fly right toward the presence of God and not blink. That's strength. But we don't get that when our soul's depleted. You know, when we can't acknowledge to God, hey, Lord, my soul is empty. It's a dust bowl. I'm dry. I'm living on past blessings. When I get like that, every trial seems like Mount Everest. I can't get over anything. Everything bothers me. Every struggle feels like a stronghold. Every challenge feels insurmountable. But when the power of God's presence gets a hold of the soul, I kind of feel like I'm soaring with the eagles. You know? You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. That's where we want to be. Then we're saying, oh, I love this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Most of us can't really say that. We don't really believe that. You know, say, well, I got a lot of things I need, and God hadn't showed up yet. But something about just being where he wants you to be, knowing that he's leading you, he's taking care of you, he's watching over you, you got soaring strength. And you may have a big, big trial, but he's got eagle wings for you when you're walking with him. When we're burned out, we miss that ability to soar over the difficulties of life. The third thing is, there's the ability to run and not get tired. You know why we get exhausted? I don't mean physically exhausted. Of course, that's part of it. God wants us to wear down so we can get some sleep, and he renews our bodies when we get our sleep. But I'm talking about emotionally drained, you know, tired on the inside. I believe it's because we try to do way too much in our own strength instead of allowing God to share his strength with us. You know, everything becomes a burden. Even things you love to do, it all becomes a burden when your soul is empty. He said, if you'll wait on me, I'll renew your strength. I'll give you new strength for your trial. I'll give you eagle wings. And then he says, you'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. Of course, that's a spiritual metaphor. We're not literally going to fly in the air like an eagle. And he's not talking about us literally running. He's talking about giving us amazing endurance for whatever it is we're going through. That's the thing about the grace of God. God gives us grace for our trials, and he says, you're running, but you're not weary. Walking, but you're not fainting. What does that word faint mean? To become despondent, to become enfeebled with the workload, to be exhausted, to be exasperated, to the point where you're just feeling empty. He says, look, if you'll wait on me, I'll give you brand new strength for your brand new trial. I'll give you the ability to soar above your difficulties, no matter how big they are. And I'll give you enduring strength. You walk and you're not weary. You're running and you're not fainting. You continue to do what it is you're supposed to do. I think the worst thing that happens to me, and probably to you, when I'm burned out, I don't have the new strength for the new trial. I don't have the ability to soar over the difficulty, no matter what it is. Everything seems big to me when I'm running on empty. And I get tired too quick and tired of a lot of things. Don't have that patience that I should have. I become intolerant too easy. Those things happen to me, and I suppose they happen to you. But the worst thing that happens to us is when we lose the biblical perspective of God. The eternal perspective on our trials, when we really don't understand that what's happening to us, we know Romans 8:28 says all things work together. Sometimes that verse is fuel in our tank. Sometimes it's just something we kind of yawn through. We lose that eternal perspective on our trials, that everything that's touching our life has a unique and divine purpose. For example, Ephesians 3 says this, wherefore I desire that you faint not. I don't want you to become enfeebled. I don't want you to get exhausted. I don't want you to wear out, burn out. My tribulations, he says, look at Paul's perspectives on his trials, which is your glory. In other words, all the things that God put Paul through was really for others. He put him in places where you don't really think that one of God's choicest servants would wind up, but it was in those places where he did some of his greatest work. He wrote epistles in prison. He planted churches in remote places. The tribulations that he faced brought glory and got help to others, and eventually they glorified God. That's the perspective he kept on his trials, because Paul had his strength renewed. In chapter 3, again in verse number 11, back up there, he says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, he believed that everything in his life was according to an eternal purpose. He didn't believe that it was all for the nasty now and now. He believed it served an eternal purpose. Think about that Philippian jailer, for example. The Philippian jailer, Paul's put in prison in Philippi, obviously. And he's there with, and he begins to sing. He begins to praise God for what's taking place in his life. And it was a terrible circumstance. He got guards there watching him. He's chained. And I can just see him say to Silas, hey, how about singing us a song? They break out and begin to sing. And the power of God begins to rest upon them. And you know the story. God creates an earthquake, and many of the prisoners, they flee. But Paul knew better than that. The jailer comes in there, and he's ready to kill himself. And he says, do thyself no harm. We're all here. And he looked at him, and that jailer said, sir, what must I do to be saved? I want what you have. You've got something I need. What must I do to be saved? When's the last time somebody looked at your life because of what you were going through, yet you were soaring like an eagle, you continued to endure in the most difficult times, maintaining the right spirit, keeping the right attitude, glorifying God despite what's going on? Somebody looked at you and said, I want what you have. I believe that's why God puts us in the fire. Anybody can praise God when life is going good. But only those who have their strength renewed daily. Because I'm telling you, as I said, the trials keep on coming. Problems keep on pounding us. The daily grind keeps on grinding us. God's solution to that is, let me renew your strength. Let me give you some Wednesday strength. And when you face that problem tomorrow, on Thursday, I'll give you Thursday strength. I'll give you Friday. I'll give it to you daily. Learn to pray, he said. Give us this day our daily needs, our daily bread, which bread was a staple of life. So those are things that we miss. We don't want to miss that. The eternal perspective on our trials. And then finally, number 5, and when I got a little ahead of myself, that's the biblical view of God. I don't want to miss the biblical view of God. Here's the thing about the Bible. If you like history, this is a great book to read. If you like romance, it's a great book to read. If you like war stories, it's a great book to read. If you like the greatest love story ever told, it's a great book to read. But you know what? It's not a book about history. It's not a book about wars. It's not a book about romance. It's a book about God. Every page in it is a revelation of God, who he is and why he is and how he does what he does. It is a book about God. And so everything that happens in our life, if I miss the biblical view of God, that he's bigger than all of my problems, he's greater than all my fears, if I miss that, my soul's going to start leaking pretty bad. Here's a great verse to remind us, no matter what you're going through in life, Ephesians 3 and verse 20 says this, now unto him that is able. I just love that. Some of you were here when David Lockhart, we got ready, we were in the old building, and we had this, I guess you'd call it a campaign, or kind of push to where we were growing out of that, and we needed to, and this land over here was just a bunch of trees. But so we kind of named the campaign or whatever. Judy, I think you were here then, Doug. Possess the land. We wanted to possess the land. And so we had a stewardship campaign. That's what it was called, where we needed people to make a commitment above their daily or their regular giving. What could you commit above that so we could possess the land and do what we believe God wants us to do, and that is put this sanctuary here where it's at right now. And we weren't a lot of people. That wasn't a big building. And nobody was rich. It required sacrifice. It required commitment, long-term commitment to make it happen. But none of us had ever done a stewardship campaign before, so we asked a brother by the name of David Lockhart, wonderful, sweet man. He came from, I believe it was Tennessee. Mike, I think that's right. This was his verse. He'd meet with what we called the planning committee, I think it was. And every time he picked up his Bible and he'd meet with us, this is what he would say. And I could still see that wonderful saint of God had that white hair, and he had years on him, and he had experience, and he had the grace of God on his life. But he would pick up his Bible, and he'd read Ephesians 3:20 like it was the first time he'd ever read it in his life. But he'd always stop and said, "Now unto him who's able." And he'd choke up and start crying right there. "It's unto him who's able." And he'd have to stop a while and just wipe a few tears away. It's like he'd never read it before in his life. This man pastored for years, and now he was just going around trying to help churches. "Unto him who's able." And then he'd go on to read, "to do exceeding abundantly." And he'd read it from different versions sometimes. "To exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us." That's the biblical view of our God. That no matter what I'm facing, no matter what you're facing, our prayers are to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could pray for, even all that we could even think. And here's the unique thing. He puts this power in us. He shares that strength with us. He gives that grace to us. Grace what? For that new trial. Grace for that big mountain that you need to soar over. Grace for that enduring strength because that trial's been long and it's still there. But it's enduring strength. It's patience. Grace to remind us that there's eternal purpose for all of the things that are taking place. The things we don't understand. And above all, to keep us focused on the biblical view of God, and that is a God that can do anything. That's what Jesus told his disciples. "Without me, you can do nothing," he said. He said, "but with me, all things are possible." We don't see life this way. We'll never get to live out the trust and the peace and the serenity of Psalm 23. Most of us have it on our refrigerator. You've got it on your bookmark or your Bible, or you've never hardly ever been to a funeral where you didn't hear it read there at the gravesite. We all could read it by heart or could quote it by heart. But it's a profound verse. It says that because God shepherds us, he has everything. There should be no unmet needs in our life. If I'm burned out, and I've been burned out before, if I'm running on empty, and I've run on empty before, it's because for some reason or another, I didn't bring that to God and get real honest with him and say, "Lord, I'm empty. I need you to renew my strength. I need fresh oil." We used to sing a song when I was just a kid, or just started preaching, about fresh oil. "Touch me with the coal from the altar. Anoint these unclean lips to say, give me some fresh oil, Lord. Some, that new strength, that new touch. I don't want to just run on past blessings. I need a blessing today. I'll need a blessing tomorrow. I'll need a help the next day, because I can guarantee you there'll be problems and trials waiting on me every day of my life. The only way to fight the burnout battle is to yoke up with Jesus and let him share his strength with you. Anything else will be like Job. When we've fallen on our face, we're in the muck and we're in the mire, we feel like a victim. It's all happening to us. But when you're right with God, you feel like, "Well, no, whatever's happening to me is kind of happening through me. Not really happening to me, it's happening through me." That's the divine perspective. That's how to fight the burnout battle. And I bet we've all gone a round or two with it. Well, that's my message for tonight. I appreciate you listening.